Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I am so glad that you are with us today. I'm Bob. I'm your host today, and I am co-hosted with Christina Lowe.
Good morning.
Good
hey,
morning.
Everybody.
Good morning. Hey, Pastor Justin has taken some time off, and so he's not here to do the broadcast, and we are excited to be here and to fill in. And so as we go along, you're just going to have to bear with us because this is the first time we've done this. Hallelujah. You know, we're going to continue to talk on prayer. That's one of the things in one of the a lot of the broadcasts have had. It's been issues dealing with prayer and how to pray, what to pray, when to pray. And one of the things that had come to mind when we were discussing this of what to talk on the broadcast, and that was one prayer a lot of people know, and actually a lot of people don't know, and that's the Lord's Prayer. And that's what we're going to center in on today. We're going to center in on the Lord's Prayer. When I was growing up, it's one of those prayers that we learned by rote, by memory, and you just learned it and you said it a lot. And that reinforced that prayer into our lives. Well, as I've gotten older and run across younger people, I find a lot of people aren't even familiar with the prayer. If you told them, ask them, do you know the Lord's Prayer? And they say, I have no idea what you're talking about. And that's one of the issues that we want to bring up today, that the world has changed and a lot of the things that we have done in the past, not that it was good or bad, but some of those things need to be continued. And the Lord's Prayer is one of those. God would not have put it into His Word, into His Bible, if it did not have significance and importance. Hallelujah. Are you ready to go on this, Christine?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Well, you know, I think what we need to do is we need to read the Lord's Prayer.
Okay.
I think we need to go through it, and I think we ought to go as close as possible to the King James Version. That's what a lot of people learned. There are other Bible translations and whatnot that word it the same way, but mm-hmm. just had a different flavor. And it's hard to remember or memorize mm-hmm. things when you don't have the same prayer in front of you all the time. So this we're using it from Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter 6, and it's verses 9 through 13. In this manner, therefore, pray. Now, Jesus was speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, and this is when he gave this prayer out. And he says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That's the words of the Lord. He was trying to teach people how to pray. And as he did, this is what came out. And one thing that we need to keep in mind is it's Old Testament. Mm-hmm. It is not a New Testament prayer. It is an Old Testament prayer. And what we're going to do today is we're going to go through it line upon line and sometimes word upon word just to savor it. I mean, it's kind of like sitting down to a meal mm-hmm. and you got different things on your plate and each one has their own flavor. Mm-hmm. And we want to savor every part of this word so that we know what Jesus was talking about. Hallelujah. Well, let's get started here, Christina.
Okay.
Well, let's start with the first word that's there. What is it?
Our
Father.
I'm being literal.
You know, and as we just look at that word, what does it mean? It means collectively. Mm-hmm. It means it's us, all of us here. So when Jesus was on that mount, he would have been, I'm going to turn here so I can look at you. And he was on that mount, and he was including himself in that. Mm-hmm. He said, that's my father. Mm-hmm. That's your father. Mm-hmm. Hey, Billy Bob, Joe, Jim Beam, whatever out there, you know, in the far end of the crowd, you know, there was probably 5,000 people there or more. Mm-hmm. And it was their father too.
Yes.
And the interesting thing is when you look at this and analyze it, that crowd was not just Jewish people.
No.
People flooded from all around to follow him. And they followed him up onto that mount to listen to him. And so there was a lot of non-believers, if you want to call them, mm-hmm. non-Jewish people that were there. And he was telling them, hey, it's your father too. Okay, let's go into the next word. What do we got there, Christina?
Father.
Hallelujah. Okay, that word, I had investigated a little bit, and it actually means parent. Mm-hmm. It means it could mean a parent that's near or remote. Now, I know that sounds strange, but in this case, they're talking about a father who is remote, that he is not present there with them. And so it's our father. Collectively, we're talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Can I chime in definitions as we go?
Well, I sure hope you do. I don't want to do this on my own.
Just to expound a little bit more on the father, effectual defense or safety from danger of any kind. I thought that was an interesting thing in there. Freedom from fear or apprehension. And it was talking about like paternal and our father.
Well, that comes from the word pater. That is the Greek word for father.
Yes, sir. That which protects or guards from danger.
Oh, yeah.
I like that one. So.
Well, yeah. And so when he's talking to these people, they have known God sometimes in their history as a God of vengeance, mm-hmm. a God of anger. And Jesus was there to let them know, this is not the mm-hmm. father.
Yes, yeah.
You know, he is just, he judges justly, but I mean, that is, he has that paternal, I'm going to take care of you.
Yes, life and life more abundant.
Yes, hallelujah. Well, then we go on, our father in, that's, you know, it seems strange to possibly talk about these words individually, but It we want you to savor it. So the word next word in, that means a position of time, place, and space. And it also refers to a place of rest.
Mm, that's good.
Yeah. When I first saw that in that word, and I thought, wow, our Father in heaven, hey, I can go to him and I can get some rest.
Mm, yes.
You know, I can remember growing up and sometimes climbing up in the chair that my dad would use. Mm-hmm. And it was just... Well, he was kind of gushy. So, I mean, you just kind of, you know, got in there, positioned yourself, mm-hmm. and then he'd sit there and he'd talk to you and he'd pat you maybe a little bit. And mm-hmm. then a few minutes later, you'd stick your elbow in his gut and get up out of the chair and he'd make a groan, you know, because that's the way kids are when they get in your lap.
They just pokey. You know,
yeah, they're pokey. Hallelujah. Our Father in heaven. Heaven. Hallelujah. Where's that?
In the sky,
yeah. It actually refers to a lifted up place. We naturally look and think in the sky, and it also refers to a place like a high mountain. So I mean, when you think of heaven, you just, your eyes go up, you look up above, and I want to share something. Let's look at what heaven is in the Bible. We can go to Isaiah 66, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? Now, I think that's really interesting because this is what we signify as the place, the resting place of God. And let's go over to Acts 7. Turn some pages here. Acts 7, verses 48 And 49, it says, heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? When you picture this, and there's other scriptures to verify this, that God is bigger than the heavens. He created all things, so he's bigger than the heavens. And this is his place where he just settles in and he puts his feet on the earth. Mm. We're his footstool.
That's good.
You know what that means? We're a comfortable place for him, or we should be. At least that's the way. Because I remember my dad, well, it was before recliners came out, and he would have his chair, but there was always a footstool there, and he'd say, scoot that footstool over there, and he'd put his feet up there and just settle in and be really comfortable. And so heaven is a place, it's a dwelling place for God, but he wants to dwell someplace else. He wants to dwell in each of us.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay, let's go on to the next word. I'll let you expound on that one.
Okay. Hallowed? Is it hallowed or hallowed?
I think it doesn't make a difference. Okay. Depends on what part of the world you come from.
Sure. Sure. It's like syrup and syrup, huh?
Never thought about that.
Hallowed means sanctified, holy, and set apart. Do you want me to just keep reading?
and that's what it means. It means set apart. Yes. I mean, something that is sanctified and set apart. That's what holy means. Mm-hmm. And God has set us apart.
Yes, he has.
He has set us as apart as a holy priesthood. And we are there for his plans and his purposes. He has set us aside from the rest of the world. I looked this little item up that there are at least 81 scriptures in the Bible that specifically state that God is holy. 1 out of 4 of the occurrences state that God's name is holy. Mm. God is referred to as the Holy One of Israel 31 times.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Think about that. We got a Father that is set aside from us because he's so good, but then he wants to dwell in us.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, that, wow. That is not a God of vengeance. That's not a God of anger. And I can see that's why God tore that curtain down when Jesus died, so we could have access to him as they did in the garden.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. We're not stuck down here and he's up there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Woo. Wow. And sometimes it might even look out like that. I mean, in the chaos that's going on in the world today, and I think this is just a sample of what is going to happen when the world negates God and takes him out and no longer wants to identify with him.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. We thank you for your presence, Lord.
Yes.
Hallowed be your name. This is a big one. Christina and I were comparing notes, and she went to the same references that I did. And I think that's Holy Spirit led.
Yes.
And it was a book by Larry Lee. She watched a video by Larry Lee, Dr. Larry Lee. Yeah. And that book was on the Lord's Prayer. And it went into depth. It's a great book if you can find it. I'm not sure it's in print anymore. It probably is. But find that book by Dr. Larry Lee that deals with the Lord's Prayer. Yes. And I think, what was it called? What did you watch on the video?
I can pull it up. It's like seven.
Seven really steps quick. Or something.
To
read through the Holy Spirit. Or the Lord's Prayer. But the name here, the word name, it means authority, character, and notoriety. God has a certain notoriety and authority. It also means to gratify, derive pleasure from, or advantage from having joy. So as the Father, as Jesus reveals the Father to the people on that mountain and to us, he is revealing this God that they have never known. They have followed him. They have served him. Maybe they never heard of him, but he's letting everyone know there's someone there, this God that we call Father, that is really willing to give everything he has to us. And one of the things that he gave us was his names. And why don't we just switch back and forth on these. One of the names of Jehovah is Jehovah Rohi. Mm-hmm. Now, I may pronounce these wrong, but forgive me. And that means the Lord God, my shepherd. And we can see that in Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. Mm-hmm. That is Jehovah Rohi. And we know what shepherds do. They take care of their flock. They watch out for them. Mm-hmm. They protect them. Yeah. They feed them. They make sure that they are in that place where there's water and that there's grass.
Amen. The second one is Jehovah Jireh. And this is probably, I think, one of the ones we hear the most.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. And that's in Genesis 22.
Yeah, yeah. The Lord God my provider. And in Genesis 22, that's the story of Abraham when he took Isaac up on to the mountain.
Yes, and the Lord provided the ram.
And the Lord provided the ram. And it's that point that Abraham said, this is the Lord, the place of the Lord God, my provider. Yeah. He provided. So Abraham, you know, had asked Abraham to sacrifice his son because God is so holy. He deserved that.
Yes.
And he got ready to do it, but God, no. Yes. I'm bigger than that. I'm better than that. I'm going to provide a sacrifice for you. And he provided a ram for him. Okay. The next name that we have is Jehovah Rapha. Now remember, when you say, hallowed be thy name, you can take the time and immerse yourself in what these names are. And so it's Jehovah Rapha. That is the Lord God, my healer. And that we get from Exodus 15, verse 26. The Lord God, my healer. You know, one of the things that we do here at Grace City Church is we have healing school once a month. And so, in fact, tonight we will be having healing school, and we are referencing and going to and pointing to this facet of God, that he is the Lord God, our healer. Hallelujah. What's the next one?
Jehovah Shalom, and that is the Lord, my peace, and that's in Judges 6:24.
6:24. Yes, hallelujah. Sir. I don't have the specifics on what that was there in Judges, but God is our peace.
Yes.
He is, that word shalom means nothing missing,
nothing broken.
Mm-hmm. And to embrace a God that wants that in your life.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I see people that are they'll make posts on Facebook or different places, and you can see that they're struggling. And one of the things I always want to minister to them is peace.
Yes, yeah.
And not
we don't have to live that way.
Yeah.
I think that's what we recognize. We don't have to live that way.
And I mean, the scripture says that he provides a peace that's beyond our understanding. Mm-hmm. We can't. Why would he do that? Because he is a loving God and Father.
And he's the God of peace.
Yes, yes. And see, I'm not sure whose turn it is.
I think it's yours.
It's my turn. All right. Jehovah Nisi. That is the next one. It's the Lord my banner. And that comes from Exodus 17:15. And Jesus, the Father, revealed that he is the one that we can hold up in front of a world that's fallen apart and say, look here. Here is our God. Here is Jehovah Shalom. Here is Jehovah Rohi. Here is Jehovah Nisi. Here is Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Rapha. He does all these things. This is what we hold up before you. You know, when kings and kingdoms went to go to war, what was the one thing that led the way? It was banner carriers. They signified what kingdom they were from, and that signature on that banner identified what they were all about. And that's what we get to hold up. We get to hold up that banner of who God is for everybody. Hallelujah. You want the next one?
Yes. It is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord my righteousness, and that's in Jeremiah 23:6. I was just checking out to see what it was. Let me see. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Why would we want him as our righteousness?
Because we don't have any on our own.
We don't? So, I always thought, before I got saved, I thought I was a pretty good guy.
Nope. No one's good.
No one's good. Yeah, that's what the scriptures tell us in Romans, that our righteousness is as filthy rags.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I won't get into that, but those rags are pretty nasty. It's actually the words that are described there.
Well, even the cleanest, neatest, most cleaned up person in the world is still lost.
Yeah.
We have to remember that.
when we compare ourselves to God, it doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how perfect you are, how nice you are, how much you love your kids, how much you're good to your
dog.
What
a good person you are.
Yeah, what a good person you are. And you show up for work every day and you pat yourself on the back and say, I am so good. But we're never going to be good compared to Jesus.
No.
And that's what's in the name of God. That's why his name is sanctified and set apart and so holy. Because he's all these things that we can't be.
Yes.
And we need him.
Yes, we do.
Okay, the last one that I have is Jehovah Shammah. And that is, the Lord is here for me. And that comes from Ezekiel 48:35. And since you had looked it up, I'm going to look it up. Ezekiel 48. I'm following your suit here. Ezekiel 48:35. All the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. Well, you know, what is that reference to? We're never alone. He's always present. He's always there. He is a God. He is a Father that is ever present. And like we said, that he is identified as a Father, but that can also mean remotely. We may not see him. Mm-hmm. We may not touch him. But remotely, he provides. He is there. He is remotely. He is our shepherd. Remotely, yes. he is our provider, our healer, our peace, our banner, our righteousness. And what else could you want from a father?
Yeah. I was just thinking, this right here, this could be the answer to some depression issues.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people that feel completely alone.
Yeah.
No one loves me. Just learning about that one name, getting the scripture on that one name, that the Lord is here for me.
Yeah.
You're never alone. You know, I'm not saying magic pill, but if you get a hold of that, you come against and combat that lie of the enemy that you're alone.
Yeah.
Because you're not.
True. Well, you know, my father passed on years ago, and I know recently that you spent some time with your dad. He doesn't live in the area. Mm-hmm. And you had posted some pictures. And it always stirs my heart when I see that you get to spend time with him.
Yes.
That you get to relish that time and hold him and smile and take pictures and do everything that you did. And that's what we want the Father to be in our lives. We want him to be there all the time. And we have that kind of access.
Yes.
Let's move on. Yeah, we don't want to run out of time. We don't want to show up to Pastor Justin and say, hey, we went an hour and a half. You know, what's your problem? Yeah, I can just hear him laughing right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Okay, what is a kingdom? Well, it's a royal realm. And we can go to John 18:36. John 18:36. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. So right there, he had established and let everyone know that, you know, he is a king. He is from another kingdom, and it's not of this world. And so we have to realize that this is a kingdom that he has brought to us. He has established his kingdom here on earth.
Yes.
And let's see, I guess that's about all I have written down for kingdom. You got anything extra?
Territory or country subject to a king, government or universal dominion. I like that dominion.
Yeah, yeah. I had done a study about that a couple years ago on for healing school and stuff. And we got into it, and it was just, it was marvelous what's in there in a kingdom. And we still have kingdoms in the world today. Yes. You know, the British, there's the British kingdom, and then they have their little domains throughout the world, but it's all under, you know, one particular leadership.
Yeah, monarchy.
Yeah. In this case, there is the queen, but she is not really active in the government in that respect. They have a parliamentary system now. But there are kingdoms in the world where this is still very active, and to be a part of that kingdom, it means something.
Yes.
And even us as citizens here in the United States, to be a citizen of the United States, even though it's not considered a kingdom, you feel an affinity for it. And you wanna be a active part in
it. Yes.
Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come. That means to grow, to appear, to reset. Interesting word, you know, that to reset, to come. We're asking he's declaring that the kingdom is gonna come in here, his kingdom, and it's gonna reset things that have been set up in this world. Okay. His kingdom come. And then it says, thy will be done, or your will be done. This is a big word. It's a big word. Means determination, choice, purpose, decree, and inclination. Luke 22:42, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Can you open up and what was happening that moment when Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done?
He was having an internal battle about going to the cross.
Yeah.
And he had to come to the point where he was like, well, Lord, I'm just going to do what you asked me to do. I don't want to do it.
Yeah. Surrendered his will.
He was submitting.
Submission. Yes. And he says that your will come. Your will be done is the next word. But we want his will here.
Yes.
Why? Because this is his kingdom.
Yes. Yeah.
And we've already learned that our righteousness and the things that we want to do isn't good enough. Mm-mm. It's not good enough for his kingdom. And he's given us so much as a father. So his will be done. That means cause to be done, fulfilled, assembled. What kind of will do you want done in your life? Whose will do you want accomplished in your life? I know that we get under bosses, pastors, parents, teachers, and we want to submit to them and their will. And why? Because it's going to bring betterment to us in most cases. I mean, I'm granted there's probably some leaders or whatever that have gone astray.
Sure.
But we definitely want to follow the Lord's will.
Yes. Well, and the Lord puts leaders over us.
Yes.
He puts them into position.
Yes.
And by obeying and submitting to them, we obey and submit to him. And that blessing comes.
Yeah. And how's that blessing come? Because he's a father with all these gifts and stuff.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And we can rest in him. You know, when he's got his foot up on the footstool, woo, makes it easier. Climb up in the chair with him. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay. Thy will be done on earth or in earth. Mm-hmm. Now, I found this interesting. We got two words in here, and they both came from different Greek words. So the first one means superimpose. So his will done in earth. He wants his will superimposed on this planet, on our lives.
That's good.
I think that's really exciting. Mm-hmm. And then earth, of course, that just means the physical planet, the dirt, you know, and ground. We understand that. But then again, it says, it says instrumentality, constructively, and a relation to rest. So our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about in heaven. And we want the will that is accomplished in his realm accomplished in our lives. We want that will that's in heaven to be here on earth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, let's go on. And it says, give us this day. Okay, give, that means to bestow, bring forth, commit, deliver, strike with the palm. I found that really interesting, that word. And of course, it's the Greek words can be used in different realms, but he's given us something. And I think even in correction or to get our attention.
Oh, wow.
Hey, yeah. Give you that. You know, there's some TV show, police detective thing, where one of the bosses comes up and slaps the back of their head to get their attention and stuff. And I thought, well, you know, that's what I thought of when I read this, you know, give with the palm of his hand. Hey,
wake up,
mm-hmm. You know? And I mean, which one of us have not done that in some way with our children,
sure,
or our pets?
Yeah.
You know, hey, knock it off, you know? And you're getting their attention. And so that's what that word give, you know, give us this day our daily bread, you know, and of course this day means present, it means right now, but daily, that's another interesting word. It breaks down, it means tomorrow's, not tomorrow, but tomorrow's. Yes, it's all the days that are coming. Mm-hmm. And it also refers to subsistence, that what he's giving us will sustain us. In Matthew 4:4, it says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We want that daily. We want that kind of food, that kind of ingestion, that whatever into our lives. We need it.
Yes.
Just like his righteousness.
Yes.
Just like his healing. We need to be fed every day. Well, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Okay. That bread is not, it's not manna. It's not unleavened bread. It actually refers to a loaf. Mm-hmm. It's raised bread. It's something that takes time to prepare. You got to allow it to, if you've ever baked bread, you know, it's got to rise. And, you know, sometimes it rises and you punch it back down and do it again, you mm-hmm. know. And I don't understand all that. I've done it, but I mean, mm-hmm. I still don't understand why, but I just follow the instructions. And, but that bread is, it's not just flat bread. It's not just a tortilla. It is bread that is lifted up. It has taken effort. And that is what we want from him. We want the effort that he has put into everything. Mm. Hallelujah, to feed us. Okay, give us our daily bread and forgive us our debts. Okay, forgive, lay aside, put away. Our debts, well, I would like to have some of my debts retired. You know, I mean, yes. My car payments, house payments, you know. College tuition, whatever, you probably got a lot of debts, but that's not the kind of debt that he's talking about here. Mm-mm. What is he talking about?
Our faults, our sins, trespasses.
Yes. Well, what are we supposed to do with those? Mm-hmm. Yeah, our debts are our sin. That's mm-hmm. what we owe. We have failed, and that's why we go to the Father. We need his forgiveness. Mm-hmm. We see where we do not measure up, and we need to go to him and embrace him for everything that he has. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. That means the owner, a transgressor, a delinquent. Those people that have done things to us, mm-hmm. we need to treat them the same way we are asking the Father
yes. to treat us. Yes.
Father, forgive us our sins. And we're going to make sure that we forgive.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
When you've done something wrong to me, I'm going to forgive you, Christina.
Thank you, Bob. Same.
See how good I am? Yes.
Yeah.
My righteousness is as filthy rags. That's why we need him. Hallelujah. Philippians 2:5. it says, this mind be in you. And Ephesians 5:1 says, therefore be imitators of God. That's what we want to do. We want to imitate God. We want to have the mind of God. And if we're going to want those things, that means we need to forgive.
Yes. Quickly.
Yes. What is that one thing? Was it something about quickly forgiving? And I can't remember. It's three little phrases. Oh, well, never mind. And it's not a part of the Lord's Prayer, and that's what we're dealing with right now. We're talking about the Lord's Prayer. Okay, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Lead means to carry inward. To carry inward, that means to lead us. Lord, what you have, what you are, we want to deposit on the inside.
Yes.
So we can be more like you.
Yeah. One of the definitions I found was guide by the hand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was really good. You know, you're not alone. He doesn't just, you know, throw the dice and be like, go do this.
Well, you know, it's, he leads us through. One of the reasons we want to be led by the hand, you think about it, is we've never been this way before. We don't know where we're going.
Right.
Grab a hold of my hand, God, and guide me through this.
Yeah. He sees ahead. He knows which steps to take.
Yeah.
Show me.
And that's one of the reasons we want to pray. We want to sit down and go, okay, Lord, I need to know what's coming up ahead. And if he doesn't specifically let us know, if we got a hold of his hand, he's going to get us where we need to go.
That's right. Even if it's just one step at a time.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons he's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. Mm-hmm. He's going to provide that way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lead us not into temptation. That temptation, putting to proof, experimentation, testing, and trials. When we go to the Father, we know that he does not test us and give us trials. He does not put them into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yes.
And so, but God doesn't do that. But when we have walked off the path, we're going to end up in some situations, and that's not God's best. So we want to be led by him so we don't end up in those temptations, in those tests, in those trials.
Yes.
And do we learn from them? We had better learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
We had better learn from them. Deliver us from evil. Rescue. It means currently also, by the way, it's a current. It's a stream. It refers to rush or to draw quickly, that deliver. So, you know, you picture God, you know, it's that river of life flows from heaven. And it's sweeping through. It's cleaning out things. Mm-hmm. And we want to be delivered. We want to swiftly get a hold of him, get through this stuff.
Mm-hmm. One of the definitions I found was release from restraint.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Deliver us from evil. Release us.
Yeah. Yeah. Get,
you know, keep us out of that.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, folks, I'm learning more and more as I go through this today of how much and how precious our Father is.
Yes.
Deliver us from evil. That's harmfulness, wickedness, disease. Whoa. Are you telling me that disease is evil? I think it is.
Yes. Yes, it is.
You know, I know that the cancer, it's not a blessing.
No.
It's evil.
Right.
You know, diabetes, it's not a blessing.
Mm-mm.
It's evil. You know, and we want to be delivered from all evil. Hallelujah. And then he goes on, and this is not used, you know, the Lord's Prayer is in Matthew, and it's in the book of Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke does not add this on. Right at the end of the Lord's Prayer, this next portion. It's not in the book of Luke. It is in the book of Luke, but it's at a different time. And people will say, well, that's the Bible. It's in conflict. It's conflicting within itself and stuff. Well, you got to keep in mind that Matthew was present when the Lord was doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Luke was not.
Mm.
He wrote this at a later time. He was a doctor, and he went to the disciples, he went to the apostles, he went to different people. He found out the things that God had, or Jesus had spoken,
mm-hmm.
and then he sat down. and wrote a book to tell us the good news. Mm-hmm. And so does it have to be in the same flow as Matthew? No, it doesn't. But the flow is God's flow through Jesus to us and through his word. So it goes on to say, deliver us from evil, for thine is the power, the glory, forever. Now that word power means dunamis, miraculous power, might, violent strength, mighty, wonderful work. Glory, it refers to being very apparent. You're going to know God's glory. And forever, it means eternal. For thine is the power and the glory forever. Can you agree with that?
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, I've had fun going through this today, but one of the last words that's there in Matthew is amen. And that is not in all translations. And I put a little note here, and I can't even pronounce those words, so I'm not even going to try. Mm-hmm. But I believe that it was in the NU edition, and it's one of the oldest texts, and they found it in there. Some of the Masoretic text, they did not find it in that old scriptures and stuff like that, so some do not refer to amen, but amen there means so be it. Why would you not want that to end in amen?
Finish it up.
Yeah. I mean, how many times have you sat in your church with your pastor giving a message and you'll amen him during that service?
Yes.
Well, you know, that's not written in the word, but we want that to come to pass. Mm-hmm. We want it to be.
Yes.
And I really believe that Jesus would have sat here teaching all these people on this hillside and saying, so be it. Let's call this into existence. And they probably all went, yeah, let's do that. Hey, folks, I am so appreciative of you of being here and joining us today. I hope it's encouraged you. I hope that it has opened your eyes up a little bit to how you can pray and who you pray to and for your city, that you want this compassion, this peace, this strength of God that comes from our Father, that came down, who sent Jesus for us so we can know what the Father looks like. We can know how the Father acts. I hope for you that you can take this into your community and turn it upside down. You can go to someone and you can say, hey, can I pray with you? And they may say, well, yeah, and then you could actually pray this prayer. Mm-hmm. Now, you may not define every word, but I can guarantee you that the Holy Spirit, while you're praying for him, you're going to stop and you're going to say, hallowed be thy name. Oh, Lord, your name is peace. And you're going to speak peace into that person's life. You're going to speak healing into their life because he's the Lord God, our healer. You're going to speak provision into their life because he's the Lord God, our provider. You know, do you got anything else, Christina?
I do. I was just going to say, I mean, this is a great prayer. You pray it every day.
Yeah.
Every day for the rest of your life and still be learning and still be gleaning. But something that just in my studies for this, one of the things that was said was when you know who God is, your heart expands and so does your prayer. You get in there and you get to praying and get to learning who he is. And he's wonderfully loving and patient. And he wants to teach you how to pray. And I think a lot of people that they would say that, I don't know how to pray. And this is a guide and this is a way to get started. And just get started. That's the thing. What do they say?
Right,
when's
right.
the best time to plant a tree? What was it, 20 or 30 years ago? Yeah. When's the next best time? Today.
Right.
Just get started. Don't worry about it. I mean, you're going to trip up. You're going to say silly things here and there, but just get started and get to know who he is.
Yeah.
Get to know who he is, and your prayer life will expand out from here.
Right.
But right here, everything that's in this prayer is a wonderful start. It's a wonderful start. And Anyway, it's just good. I've really enjoyed just breaking this apart. I don't know if I've ever really broke it apart like this. And it's I always love finding out more who the Lord is.
Yeah.
You know, and how much he loves me.
Yeah. And like I referenced earlier, I mean, like climbing up in daddy's lap.
Mm, yeah.
As a kid, how many times did you say something wrong or do something wrong, you know, and didn't change the way he felt for you?
No.
You know, he's still embracing you. And this is an opportunity to grab a hold of the Father God and be embraced by him, mm-hmm. be cuddled by him, and knowing that all of these things he's put at our fingertips. You know, as we pray, and like I said, this is an Old Testament prayer, but we bring it into the New Testament because it gives us revelation of who our Father is. But he's given us other ways to pray also. And I would like to refer to 1 Corinthians 14:2. And in this, Paul wrote, "And he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries." Mm-hmm. There is the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. We saw that from Acts chapter 2. And this is what Paul is referencing, that we can go before our Father. You know, he says he speaks to men, does not speak to men, but to God. Okay, let's take out the God there and let's put in Father, that we're speaking to the Father. We're talking a private language that I have between myself and him. And in that, he is giving me mysteries to speak of, to speak into. I may not know exactly what is being done or said, but then sometimes he gives us the interpretation and we know what we're praying about. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit. We want to pray those mysteries. And I just want to urge you that if you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, seek it out. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 and 27. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, is because he makes," turn the page, "intercession for the saints according to the will of God," according to the will of the Father. The Holy Spirit, we can use him, avail ourselves of him in our prayer life. And I just want to urge you to seek that out. Seek out the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Seek to expand your prayer life. There's not a right way or a wrong way, because we're going to pray according to his will.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
His will be done.
Yes.
Hallelujah. In closing, I want to read the Lord's Prayer one more time. And this time I want to pray and read it from the Passion Translation. "Our Father, dwelling in the heavenly realms, may the glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn. Manifest your kingdom realm and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth, just as it is fulfilled in heaven. We acknowledge you as our provider of all we need each day. Forgive us the wrongs we have done, as we ourselves release forgiveness to those who have wronged us. Rescue us every time we face tribulation and set us free from evil, for you are the King who rules with power and glory forever." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, Christina, do you have any final words to say?
I would just, on what you were talking about, being filled with the Holy Spirit and praying, getting your tongues, that changed my life. It changed my life. And I realized I wasn't reliant just on what I know. I am. I have access to the one that knows everything about everything. So that's my two cents to throw in there. I would encourage you. It will change your life. Do it. Don't wait.
Right.
Don't wait. Do it, and And no pressure. I'm just saying, just do it. You'll never regret it. Man, when trouble comes, stuff happens, you have access to the one that knows the answer.
Yeah.
So yeah. Praise the Lord.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you what, we're getting ready to sign off here. And I want to urge you to stay with us, tune in. You can find us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or Podbean. We would like to hear from you. Thank you for tuning in today. We have been listening. You have been listening to Grace for the City podcast. Stay in contact with us. You can email us at hello@gracecitychurch.tv, or you can call us at 870-741-9099 if you want someone to agree with you in prayer, or if you have any questions or comments. We definitely like to hear from you. Until next Thursday, be blessed. We will see you later.